Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Pretty warm today, bud.
It's so hot, dude. How's that this hot already?
I know, man.
I mean, I remember. Do we always complain about the weather? Dude, we have lit. Oh, yeah. We've turned into old men.
Mm-hmm. We definitely have. Hmm. I had Amelia, my oldest's, field day today. And it's so funny. I just remember our field days were like just like running, you know, laps, like, you know, sprints and
competition,
like,
man. That's
yeah. I mean, I remember it was just so hot. And like, I went to Amelia's thing and it's literally her just going through this big line, like all the classes are just going through a line of like just getting sprayed with water hoses.
Yeah.
And it's like, what's happening?
I know. Same with our kids. It was more like just, hey, kids, just go. It's like a recess day instead of like,
right.
There was like tug of war. There mm-hmm. was, yeah. You know,
we had like medals and like
station. There was like yeah. multiple events. It was in the Olympics for elementary mm-hmm. school.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Different.
So different. Hey folks, welcome back to your favorite podcast, That Would Be Rad, the podcast that majors in 80s and 90s nostalgia, comic culture, all things paranormal, and minors in retro video games, tabletop RPGs, pre-internet mysteries, and raising our kids to be half as cool as we were back in the 80s. I'm your host, Tyler Bentz, and this is your other host,
Woody Brown.
Hey, man.
What's up, brother? I mean, aside from, you know, the detrimental heat that is already here. But there's a good side to that, man.
What's that, pal?
And the good side is
that oh,
the we're going to be going to the swimming pool a lot more, which I better start doing a little more push-ups, you know?
Yeah, same.
Push-ups, sit-ups, maybe a little running. Get that back into the old routine.
I thought you ran every day.
No, well, I have been kind of lately, but I kind of slacked off for a little bit there, too.
Mm. All right, well, what are we getting into today? What are we getting into today? That sounded like I read it.
Yeah. What are we getting into today? Man.
What are we getting into today?
So I thought, and mainly because just personally, my family and I are going to be going on a road trip very soon.
Mm-hmm.
And it got me thinking, like, there's just something like, in my opinion, extremely sort of like American and nostalgic and 80s about packing the kids in a car
mm-hmm.
and just driving to another part of the country, you know?
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of like sort of nuances that come with that, good and bad and mm-hmm. annoying. But mm-hmm. there is just like this really cool, I have several fond memories growing up and doing that kind of thing. But I thought, dude, let's go through everything from what our perfect road trip playlist would be, songs that make us think about being on the mm. road mm. and having a road trip, to like things like, well, let's just build out one of like an ideal road trip.
Mm, okay. You know, like, love it. The Great American Road Trip.
The Great American Road Trip.
The Mighty Mississippi.
Exactly.
The old miss, the old man.
Let me ask you a quick question, dude. Mm-hmm. When you were a kid, did you guys go on a lot of road trips?
Kind of. Well, so my Uncle Stuart, who is, he's a badass. He's like Special Forces, Green Beret guy. So he traveled a lot or sort of moved around a lot when he was younger, when he had first started the Army. And I would have been around like kindergarten, first, second grade. I believe he originally moved to Texas and then Arizona. And at this time, I grew up in Georgia. So I remember by the time I was in first grade, which is pretty funny because my first grade teacher was Miss Brown, which is your wife, Ann's mom.
Yeah, or the quickest way to get there would have been your mother-in-law.
Well,
it's fine.
You know. So yeah, me and my grandparents would take a pretty good bit of road trips, especially to be that young. And then with my parents, we would go down to the Keys, the Florida Keys, mm-hmm. every year. So that was always a very, very long feeling road trip.
That is a long one. Yeah, I think
Florida is
a long.
It is. Florida's a long haul,
especially from where we're at here in North Georgia. It is quite a long haul. But so for me as a kid, you know, we would come back to the States on summer break to, you know, visit our family and stuff when I lived overseas. And really the only thing we would beg for that road trip, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Because we'd just been in an airplane for 24, 32 hours, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just, that's never super ideal. It's fun as a kid, but, you know, man, we wanted to see the country, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that's kind of the main ones that we would take. And then once we moved here, you know, just like you, I mean, mainly just kind of to go to the beach and that kind of thing. But, you know, one thing that we did last year, you know, we took a road trip out to Colorado and back. And at first you can trust me, you can ask Ann, I was very against it. Mm-hmm. You know, I like flying actually. And that airport experience with the kids and stuff is pretty fun. But man, it is, man. Especially once they get older, it's fun.
Yeah,
if you do it right. And that's kind of why I wanted to talk about road trips today. It's like, it's all about doing it right. Setting yourself up. Mm-hmm. Here we go. Starting to sound like a motivational speaker. Setting yourself up for success here. Mm-hmm. And I think there's some elements that are just going to make it happen. As long as you have a couple things in line, you're going to have a killer road trip, man. And we did. It's fun, man. It always makes me think back to being a kid. Some of the stuff that we would take, dude, my brother and I had this is so dorky. We had this like Scrabble board, but it was like super small and it was the pieces were magnetic.
Oh, I had a couple of those, yeah.
And so like at first you're like, oh, this is the greatest thing ever, until you start losing the magnet pieces. And then you're like, man, I don't know why. It's unfair, man. All I got were S's. You know, it just doesn't work.
You didn't start bringing in like little random refrigerator magnets.
Yeah, right.
With like Sharpie letters on, drawn on them.
And then that, of course, evolved into like bringing the Game Boy, you know, that original thick brick of a Game Boy.
Mm-hmm. Did you, speaking of Game Boy, did you have the light, what was it called, the Light Boy or something? Maybe?
Yeah. So that light that would, because I don't know if folks remember this, but it's funny, I was reminded, I'd kind of forgotten, dude, that like, Game Boys were not backlit at all.
No.
So if you didn't have like a light source on top of that thing, you can't see. And so my son, when we were kind of bringing him through the retro video game evolution, we got him a Game Boy, I think it was Advance or something like that. Mm-hmm. It was still one of those that didn't have the backlight. And he's like,
really?
Man, this, what is this? And so he would just like sit under a lamp the whole time. And I'd forgotten about that. But yeah, I had a Light Boy and I had the one that was like, it magnified it. And I forgot what that was called, but.
I know what you're talking about.
Dude.
I never had that. But I do remember on those long trips, I had like a little miniature like mag light that I literally had taped to the back of the Game Boy so that I would always have like a flashlight to use with it.
Man, I also had one of those multi-cartridges. I mean, long before they were popular here now, but. It was like a Game Boy cartridge that had like a little button on the back. And I mean, this is straight jack pirated Southeast Asia, you know, stuff. But it was a Game Boy cartridge. And it had a little button on the back that you would press if you wanted to basically cycle to the next game. But this sucker had like 150 games on it, dude.
Wait a minute. Like, when did you have this?
87, 88.
So like close to when Game Boy first came out?
Oh, yeah, man. Oh, yeah.
So like an emulator, basically. Later on, it would be. Like,
yeah. No, I mean, now they just call them multi cartridges or multi carts.
Yeah.
They have them now. They make them for like, it's really cool, actually. Now you can get them on eBay.
The retro.
It'll be like 300 Super Nintendo games in one Super Nintendo cartridge. And you don't have to press any buttons. It's just all on a menu in there.
Man, that's crazy.
And so that's really fun. But back then, it was kind of. You know, like a new thing. And I'm pretty sure I traded like, it might have been a King Griffey rookie card. I might have done that. I don't know. But it's I like traded something there. To get this multi-cartridge. And dude, it had so many games and it was awesome. But where it sucked completely was if you're playing something, you get a little frustrated and you move that Game Boy and that button accidentally touches something, boop, you went from Mario Tennis to Excitebike, and you're like, no, you know, you just lost all of that info. But anyway.
Oh, man. So wait, it was like where the, like the little screw was maybe in the back?
No, it was kind of like just like on the cartridge, man, like at the top of it. So if you like put the cartridge in the Game Boy, insert it into the Game Boy, towards mm-hmm. the top of the cartridge, it just had this little like little rubber button. Beep, beep, you know?
I've never ever mm-hmm. heard of this.
I've never seen one since. And God, I wish I still had it. But
man, I mean, that's like pretty high tech. You would have been like the king of the school if you would have brought that over here.
Yeah, no, man. And overseas, but I mean,
I'm sure your butlers weren't impressed.
My what?
Your butlers probably weren't.
Shut up. All right. Let's get into some of the songs that like kind of make us think of a road trip mm-hmm. or one, you know, like I've already built my playlist, man, for my upcoming road trip with my family. It's got a little bit of old stuff. It's got a little bit of new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Who wants to go first? You want to go first?
Well, okay. I got to make a little bit of I just got to preface this with a couple things.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
America's future can be determined by our dreams and our visions.
It was very intense bright light.
For over 200 years, there have been reports of giant man-like creatures
from another dimension, another world. I don't know.
The most intriguing mystery on the North American continent.
Hey, this is Woody.
And this is Tyler. And you're listening to That Would Be Rad.
And now, back to our show.
So, as you all know, if you're a longtime listener, I am horrible at lists because I'm so OCD that I feel like I just can't get enough of what I feel like, you know, songs or books or whatever that deserve to be on the list. So it's really, really hard.
And it's difficult for me too. So I read you.
Yeah, right. But so I have to say this. I have to say that Vampire Weekend, mm-hmm. Kings of Convenience.
Now you're just listening to artists.
Yeah. I'm going to get there. The National and the entire album Graceland by Paul Simon.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's too hard to, like, all of that stuff kind of reminds me of summer.
Yeah.
Like you could just put on any Vampire Weekend record and it feels like summer to me.
Mm-hmm.
Especially like, you know, Contra especially feels like, you know, you're vacationing in the south of France. And same with like Kings of Convenience. They're kind of the same.
Yeah.
And then Graceland always reminds me of summer. My mom, when I was growing up, my mom always had like that tape. So it was always going while we were like at the pool in the summer and that kind of deal. So it's too hard to narrow those down. So yeah.
Well, let me dive in real quick. Mm-hmm. One, I 100% agree. It is very hard. Like it's like somebody saying, what's your favorite movie? It's just too hard. For me though, I do love making a mixtape, man. Ever since I was a kid, I used to make mixtapes, mix CDs, you know, this man, we have piles of them. Well, for this, I started like thinking, okay, what are some like fun what are some fun songs that I can create this playlist for the fam that they're not just going to turn it off, dad? So oddly enough, Vampire Weekend actually made the cut and I wanted to go, sometimes I like to go deep cuts, man. And I said deep cut, it's probably not a deep cut, but for a kid, it's not, in other words, it's not A-Punk, right?
Well, I was going to say,
Oxford
Comma, definitely not.
See,
for
that
the
first album actually makes me think more of like fall for some reason.
Yeah, I could see that. So, Contra though is full on summer.
Yeah. So I put the song by Vampire Weekend, Yahey.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
I don't know why, man. That one always is just like, you know, it just gets me in that road trip summer vibe. And I had
Diplomat's Son and I Think You're a Contra like battling it out before I was just like, every song.
I'm just going to say the artist.
Yeah. Every song on here.
Before I just give up completely. Cool, man. Now, I will say, dude, before I tell you this song, I have been almost accidentally listening to a fair amount of the Pogues lately.
Ooh.
And like my brother It's like that stuff is like right up his alley, man. He loves the Pogues. It was like that was a band that he liked whenever we were in high school. And then I was kind of like, yeah, they have like a cool song. And I would listen to it. And I'll tell you the song that I think is awesome. And that's the song Tuesday Morning. Came out in 93, dude. It sounds like there's something about this summer that just feels very like early. Like I want to get into this like early 90s. Kind of vibe musically with, with my kids. But this song sounds like it would be, and I don't know if it is, so forgive my ignorance here, but it sounds like it should be on an early 90s movie about my family going on a road trip. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's so good though, man. The lyrics are cool. But then you just like go to the next track and it's like, whoa, like it's clear that like Tuesday Morning was like the producer was sort of going like, hey man, let's dial back the you know, terribly drunk Irish guy that lives in New York. Maybe. Yeah. And like, let's dial that down a little because the rest of the stuff is just like real, you got to really be a fan of theirs. But
which is funny because that was such a, and I don't know if it's because we kind of grew up, you know, we were older then, but that was sort of a thing in the 90s. These bands that were, for some reason I'm thinking of like this band called Caroline Spine, but like they would have like this one song that you could tell was sort of like the quote unquote like hit single or like the pop, you know, the first single. And then all the deep cuts were like, you know, all explicit language.
And right. Yeah. The singles were like audibly obvious in a lot of ways. Like they were just like almost produced completely differently.
Mm-hmm. Marcy Playground, I guess, was one of, well, that was like, no, that was in the 90s.
They didn't make my playlist, by the way.
No. Although, God, that song, Sex and Candy, was everywhere.
It was, man.
Are we going back and forth, or what do you think?
Yeah, we can, but I mean, if you're just listing artists, then I guess I'm just going to go down my list. And
listen, that was just my preface in the beginning.
Like
that if
the teacher gave you an assignment, you showed up, and you're like, well, I don't appreciate that assignment.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. If you were my teacher in school, almost every time, you would see the little asterisk at the bottom where I would give, like, my additional information that I thought was, you know. No, I'm just saying, if you want to get in the summer vibe, put on Kings of Convenience or put on any Vampire Weekend album or Graceland.
Yeah.
And I mean, they all work year round, but.
Yeah, yeah. Also, now, some of these are like a little bit newer, but man, oh man, hold on now. There is I'm sure you listeners too, and Tyler, you'll know this song by this guy, James, the song called Laid. Well, there's a band called The Pains of Being Pure at Heart who covered it. And dude, the cover is fantastic, man. It's a girl singing, and it's just so good. So I actually put the cover version on this playlist because I like it so much. But man, that's another one of those songs that it just gets you in that early 90s vibe. It's like somewhere in between, like, So I Married an Axe Murderer and I'm trying to think of another, what is it, like Reality Bites. You know what I mean? Like that sort of era, whenever you hear that song, that's what it feels like.
Drop Dead Fred. I saw that movie in the theater and I remember my mom had to go with me and us walking out of the theater, her being like, what the hell was that?
Yeah.
Did I just watch? Okay, cool. I would say, again, you know, I have all these like vivid memories of being a kid. And so my dad left early. For the longtime listeners, you already know this. My dad left when I was like 3 or 4 or 5-ish around that area. I'm terrible with the date. But so it was just me and my mom. And there was a college in my town called Truett McConnell College. And they had a pool. And I guess my mom was friends with like the basketball coach or something. Because my mom was like actually a pretty big basketball player back in the day. And I think she like played in college and stuff. But she knew the coach and he let her have a key or like gave her a hot tip on like, you know, the fence. They didn't lock it or something. But so we were at the pool like, you know, all summer long. And I remember my mom had this like white Timex, super 80s watch. And then she had this like little like green, you know, crappy sounding little boombox, and we were always listening to like The Police and you know, like all those 80s, like Tears for Fears, especially. Mm-hmm. And so I got to say, and I've mentioned this before, but, and it's such a not a B-side, but Everybody Wants to Change the World just feels like summer.
For sure, man. And I think that made our summer play this last year.
I think so, yeah.
But yeah, dude, I mean, there is just something about those bands that immediately take you back to being a, being a kid. And I mean, for some reason too, man, like, and I don't know if it's because of the new Thor trailer. I mean, that's certainly why my kids love this song now. But, you know, Sweet Child of Mine, dude, kind of brings that summertime vibe. And you know, I don't know. It just makes me feel like being in a car, traveling, heading somewhere. You know, another song, dude, that I think is perfect for this is The Shins, both New Slang, which, you know, obviously that was, again, their huge hit. But also the song Australia.
I don't know that I remember that song.
Oh, dude, it's so good, man.
Was it on that their big album?
Oh, man. Don't ask me questions like that.
When I hear The Shins, I immediately just think of the Garden State soundtrack.
Gold teeth and a curse for this town. Roll in my mouth.
You know, it's just those kind of songs that you can have in the background. You can kind of sing them if you know them. They just make you feel good as you're heading down the road. That kind of thing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So this album I discovered in the fall, but because of our sort of band touring days, this was always a song that especially you and I would kind of go back to. And it's sort of went from a fall, winter song to being sort of, I mean, really year-round, but kind of more of a summer song when we were touring. And that is a song by The Format called The First Single.
Mm-hmm.
Great song. Great album.
It is, man.
And he would later go on to, what was his name?
Nate Ruiz.
Yeah, but what was his?
Fun?
Yeah, Fun. That's it. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, he had this band called The Format early on that was amazing, such a good band.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, kind of started writing with like a lot more poppy stuff under the guise of the band Fun. Or I guess I don't know if it's a band, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But yeah, The Format's awesome. So go check them out.
They are. Here's another one that made my playlist. Coconut Records, which is Jason Schwartzman's kind of solo effort.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of folks obviously know him from, well, hopefully the movie Rushmore, but all the other things that he's been in. But he was also the drummer for Phantom Planet. Mm-hmm. And then when he kind of just pursued his own acting career, they got a new drummer. And he kind of recorded this solo album with a couple of other people, including Zooey Deschanel and that kind of thing. But this song, West Coast, I think was the first single, and it's just so good, dude. It makes me, again, being in a car, windows down, summertime, you're heading somewhere. I just love it, man.
Yeah. Yeah, he was really great. Another band, which I don't know if it quite works for me, well, I don't know, as like a summer song, but it reminds me of Little Joy.
Oh, yeah.
The Strokes, sort of like some of the guys, like split off into other music projects. Mm-hmm. And they were another one that was like, it's like, wow, this is actually pretty cool. Because usually, you know, you love a band and then like a member goes on to make another record and it's sort of like, I mean, it's cool, but, you know. But like they're actually pretty good albums.
Yeah. And like I think the rest of the band are all Brazilian, and Fabricio I guess he still plays the drums in that band, but it's really good stuff too.
I think he like sings or like does backup and stuff too.
He might do that. Also, this song that I've been getting into like crazy, man, I cannot get it out of my head. It's a more recent, I guess, release, but it's a band called Caveman, and the song is called Never Coming Back.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, the beginning of that song. I'd say the first 2 minutes or whatever, is just like perfect, dude. It's so good.
Yeah, it's such good songwriting that I like the second that I heard it, I was like, I know I've heard this song before, and I don't know if it's like because you know we're songwriters that it's like, did I write a riff like this
or are
they ripping off something? It's so good that it's just like this was like. like made to belong like in the world kind of thing.
There's like a Springsteen vibe to it. I don't know. It's so good.
Yeah, really good.
And dude, let me ask you a quick question. Can you even have a road trip playlist without Depeche Mode Route 66 on it?
Absolutely not.
You have to throw that on there.
It's
a little on the nose, but
also, again, it feels super on the nose, like you're saying, Minute Work Down Under. Feels like summer to me.
Yeah, man. Or what about Radical Face, Welcome Home, Son?
You know what's funny? I had this on my list, and as I was like making my list, because I had it playing as I was making my list, and I was like, you know, man, this, as much as I love the song, it feels like sort of like fall to me, though.
Oh, really?
A little bit, yeah. I don't know why.
That is kind of like an interesting thing that we're like kind of talking about here. It's like how certain songs can mean, well, obviously, can mean different things to different people, but also like can remind you of different time periods and seasons even. And so for me, Radical Face is more of like a, well, I don't know, like a summer, spring kind of, exploring the outdoors. But yeah, it works for fall too.
Yeah. So I have one that I was kind of torn because I can't decide if it's sort of a fall vibe or summer, but it was the first song that I heard from this guy. And I was immediately hooked. And then as he started his newer albums, I liked even more. But it's a guy named Ben Howard and a song called Old Pine.
Oh, yes, dude. It's I forgot about that song.
It just feels like a camping trip, like out in nature. It's awesome.
There's a couple of those guys like him, Ben Howard, Josh Ritter.
Right. Oh, Girl in the War, guy? Man.
Yeah, Girl in the World's War is just amazing, dude. Yeah. But who's the other one that I'm thinking of? It's not... I feel like a... Oh, Matt Pond.
Oh, yeah, Matt Pond, PA, Oh, you're thinking about Ben Queller, too?
Oh, Ben Queller. Dude, I actually have him on there, that song, How It Should Be.
Yeah, dude. You awesome.
Know, come on. They're just so good, man. When I was a movie star, an asteroid had hit the earth and prematurely ended. There's a bunch of other ones that I actually like. I don't even know how I found these bands, but I kind of added them to my liked songs. And like, there's a band called Wussy, and their song Teenage Wasteland, really, really good. Sounds like, you know, it has nothing to do with like The Who or anything like that.
Right.
Another band.
That's a great song, man.
Yeah, it is, man.
Who's Next is such a good album.
Oh, God, man. The Who, man. That was another band. Whenever I was a kid, it was kind of like it opened my eyes to.
Oh, yeah.
Rock and roll, you know?
Well, and especially Baba O'Reilly, you know,
which
a lot of people know as Teenage Wasteland, I remember hearing, like, so Woody and I were always, in our bands, we were always, like, such sticklers about not doing a bunch of overdubs, not doing stuff that we couldn't pull off live. And, you know, hearing that little super old school synthesizer thing at the intro of Baba O'Reilly, the weird, like, it almost sounds like Indian kind of thing. Sort of opened my eyes and gave me a little leeway of like, you know, maybe it is okay to do a couple little flourishes here and there.
Yeah.
You know, and on the like, on albums.
It's just such an epic song, man. I mean, I don't know. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
I love that, like, they're like, Ann and I were just talking about this, well, yesterday, you know, we... I don't know, went to the store with the kids together, something like that. And of course, I'm in charge of the radio, the playlist, and I just put on, oh man, what was the song? It was a Smashing Pumpkins song from Melancholy. I don't remember what song it was, but anyway.
1979?
I was just like, it may have been. And I was just kind of like, man, it's so sad to me that like, look, I get it. There are musicians and stuff out there currently. There are people still making good music, but there's not, in my opinion, and again, I'm going to sound like an old man here, the time that we grew up in, both, I love that we kind of had a foot in both the 80s and the 90s, but during those eras, man, it's like, there was just like this large concentration of incredible songwriters, incredible music that we're getting the attention. So those songwriters and stuff might exist currently. I just don't think they're getting, it's not the same, man. Not like this huge scene and this thing that's happening within rock and roll, at least. I mean, like, you know, hip hop and stuff, they've kind of had a revolution in the last like 10 years or so. Mm-hmm. But like rock and indie rock and any of that stuff, man, you know,
it always kind of stays under the radar a little.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, we're definitely not in a time like, I mean, my favorite era that we lived through, I would say, music-wise, as far as like being in bands and stuff, when like the Strokes first came out and like Yeah and Interpol, it's like it was sort of this like reemergence of these bands that were like bigger than life. Like you knew the names of every member. You know, there were just these sort of like, you know, Karen O and like Julian Casablancas, and like it was like this sort of return to the way it used to be kind of thing. And I don't know that we will ever see that. I mean, at least in like indie music and like rock and stuff anymore. I mean, like, yeah. You know, you have like Foo Fighters and stuff like that, but
yeah.
I don't know. Another song that I got that I don't think it's going to be on your list, but it's one of my favorite songs. And again, it's not like a cool B-side. It's like probably their biggest hit, but that is Can't Hardly Wait by The Replacements.
Yes, dude. I love that, man.
Love that song, man. Such a good song. And it's such a good summer song.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a little confused, as I'm sure the listeners are too. You know, at first you said, I'm not going to make a list, but now you're making a list. I'm just trying to decide.
No, you know, what are you talking about?
Which way we're? I don't know.
No, I am. No, I do have a list. I was just prefacing in the beginning that like these different bands.
Hey, look, I understand the assignment's hard. No one said it wasn't. Still got to do it.
I have a list.
Come on.
I mean, it's not like a countdown list. I'm just sort of jumping.
Yeah,
around.
No. Mine, and this isn't like top road trip playlist. I'm just saying, hey guys, this is a great playlist. Here's some songs
I'm doing.
That you might like. I'm not saying, hey guys. You go back to the Beatles' full catalog.
Hey, speaking of Beatles, well, no, we'll get into that later.
First off, can I just brag a second? My 5-year-old daughter, okay?
Oh, here we go.
Her crush list has now expanded from Harold Ramis or Egon Spengler. Mm-hmm. Huge crush. That's now expanded to, wait for it, David Bowie, John Lennon, and Michael Jackson.
Mm. That's a good list.
Yeah, dude. And so, I went in. So we had some of their cousins came over like a couple weeks ago, and I'm like, where is Jane? And I go into her room, dude. She's like a little teenager, dude. She's got the iPad, and she's watching Michael Jackson videos and just like head in her hands, just like in love, dude. It's just the funniest thing ever, dude. So awesome.
Trying to get this train back on the tracks, and talking about bands that are still making good music.
We're just going to list artists. Okay, cool.
No, we're not listing artists. I have a list. A band called Haim, and I know I'm stealing this from you. And again, it's hard to do one song, but The Steps is definitely
so good, dude.
One of my favorites, and definitely feels like summer too.
Like, I know there's like a lot of folks who listen to like heavier stuff that might think us liking, and the correct way to pronounce their last name is Haim. You know, there's a lot of reasons why I love this band. Number one, the fact that they're all sisters. Mm-hmm. They've been making music since they were like little kids. Mm-hmm. And they are so freaking talented.
Yeah.
With their instruments and the way they sing and stuff. But like, they're just so awesome, man. I love their music. They've got so many good songs. Like you said, it's just hard to pick a favorite. But Steps is definitely on there.
Mm-hmm. All right, give it to me, champ.
All right. Have you ever heard of this band called the Plimsolls?
Yep.
And the song A Million Miles Away. So good, dude.
Can you play it?
Yep.
Oh, I know this song, yeah.
It's so funny. A lot of these songs kind of like, at first, like, the verse, you're just kind of like, oh, yeah, this sounds familiar. Then they hit the chorus, you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, like, yeah.
They only use that chorus in the movie soundtrack, basically, you know?
Right. It kind of feels like the Replacements.
Yeah, for sure.
A little.
Or they like kind of even like look like, you know, they're trying to not
kind of.
Yeah, I don't know. They remind me of them too.
Just or like indie Rick Springfield.
Yeah, exactly.
Ish. Yeah, I love that era of it's kind of like the new wave era when bands were like still had elements of new wave, but you could tell that they were still kind of like, I guess it was sort of like I don't know. It's like they were still, you know, regular sort of bands, like, you know, guitar, drums, bass.
Right. Right.
Let me think here. Oh, well, talking about heavy music, I don't know why this song makes me feel like summer other than, I mean, clearly the title, but I love this band so much, and I had to throw in this song because it has, you know, it has summer in the title, and that is My Own Summer by the Deftones. Love this band. Especially love White Pony, Around the Fur, those like earlier albums, but yeah. Awesome.
Is this, I know I've done this on this podcast
don't
before.
Do
this,
it.
Wake up.
Make no, up. That's System of a Down.
Okay.
You don't like them because you always hated Armenians.
Come on, dude. I don't even remember. I just remember, like, what is the other band you mentioned?
Which one?
The one that you just mentioned before I said, wake up.
The Deftones?
Deftones, that's it.
Mm-hmm. I love those guys.
This is why, and it's unfair because it's probably awesome, but I had a hard time getting into them because it's like the song title is My Own Summer, in parentheses, Shove It.
Well, if you hear it, like, that, those are the lyrics.
Hey, man, shove it.
You got to listen to it, though.
Yeah.
Woody, for everybody out there, Woody has never got into heavy music. I mean, tell me that's not an iconic riff. Get to the chorus, though. Don't bore us. Get to the chorus. Man, it's badass, dude.
Okay, that is pretty cool. But, like, can somebody just give this guy a hug? I mean,
yeah, Chino
Marino. What's he so pissed off about, man? Okay.
Well, their bass player died.
Well, I guess probably after that, the best thing to do is say shove it.
Well, no, the bass player was alive back then.
Yep, see? Anyway, no, it's cool, man. It is cool. Shove it.
Come on, man.
No, it is cool. I'm just saying, like, unfairly, back then, I would, like, look at a song title like that and be like,
I was all in.
Man,
I mean,
this was like, even that guitar riff sounds like, you know, what you know, the stuff that you're into.
I love it. Yeah. Another song.
Meanwhile, I'm just over here with the Shins, guys, looking up at the sky, just enjoying life.
Anyway, and Rocky Raccoon was one of my favorite songs.
It was one of my favorite songs. Hey, man, shut it. I'm like, hey, dude, calm down. It's summertime, bro. Hey, bro, calm down. It's summer. This is my summer. Shove it.
So stupid. This is a song. Well, I can't break it down to one song, so it has to be two songs for this particular band. This band
breaking rules just left and right. But I mean, you know, who's keeping track? Go ahead.
Total rule breaker on this. These kids are the grandkids of famed John Williams, which I think we've talked about.
Oh, yes, dude.
Before. Mm-hmm. This band definitely feels
sure
like
this made the summer playlist also, so way to do your homework. Go ahead.
No, but I think it did made some playlist. I can't remember. But the band is called The Bell Brigade.
Yeah.
And they are awesome. But if you're gonna listen to what songs you should listen to is off their first record, a song called Losers. Which is amazing. They kind of have that sort of, which I mean that's what they are, but that Laurel Canyon, you know, that sort of California kind of sort of country, sort of not. It's kind of hard to explain. But then the next song is off of their next album that they went into, which kind of had more of like a little bit more of like a Tom Petty kind of feel. And that's called When Everything Was What It Was. And they're a great band. Really cool.
That is really cool, man. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's just awesome that they're related to John Williams, who, one of the best that ever did it, man.
And they actually make like good music, you know.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, like, you know, you hear something like that and you're like, oh man, they must be awesome. And then
you talking trash about Julian Lennon, bro?
A little. Yes, I am.
Oh man.
Which, by the way, wasn't Julian Lennon tied to, wasn't he tied in with something with Coconut Records?
No.
What am I thinking of? Why am I thinking, mm-hmm. why is there an association?
What was the other, not Julian, but Yoko and John, Sean Lennon. Now, Sean Lennon, he's probably just friends with
the Strokes,
but and everybody else in the world because he's freaking Sean Lennon. But
yeah.
He actually had a pretty cool album, man. That came out like late 90s, early 2000s, me and my brother were obsessed with. I forget the name of this single, but hold on. Let me see if you remember this song. Into the Sun was the name of the album, and I think that was the name of the first single, dude. And I say it was really awesome. I probably haven't listened to it since around 1998, but hold on. Starting out with beach sounds. That's already summer.
Here it is.
Okay. Oh. Okay.
Cool. We're in an elevator. That's fucking awful.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's good for like a lounge.
I guess. I mean, if we're gonna play that, you might as well have like the girl from Ipanema.
That's exactly what it sounded like. It reminded me of it.
Yeah.
Boy. Well.
Which, by the way, looking up this while you're playing that. Did you know that Yoko Ono, yikes. Do you know that Yoko, which I've never liked her, had John Lennon disinherit his son Julian out of the will?
Dude, there's all kinds, like, trust me.
What
man.
An asshole.
Dude, it gets crazier. Like, spend some time diving into that whole fiasco, and you'll quickly understand, like, the strange tension that occurred once she was on the scene, man.
She was the worst.
And
she still is the worst.
It makes you think a little differently about John Lennon too, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I get it that like people can be, you know, influenced by love and all that, but like, man, I never got it. I mean, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, but
like, especially like I could see him being like, you know, sort of, you know, you didn't have internet or anything. So it's like being fascinated with like, you know, her like culture and like, it's like different and the furthest thing away from this sort of uptight British kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But God, she's just awful. So untalented. So.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Well, I don't know. I think it's important for us to separate the art from the artist sometimes.
Absolutely.
In terms of their personal life and stuff. You know,
Kevin Spacey.
God.
Here, hold on. Let me take that again. Bill Cosby.
Yikes.
Okay.
Dude,
there are some
circumstances where they just don't, you know. Oh, man.
Oh, man.
Hold on. I think we've done plenty of the song listing.
No,
naming artists.
Let's keep going.
No, I know you have a
just
long
for a
list.
Few. I don't know. I'm almost done, actually.
No, but listen, if they're. Okay.
Let's have honorable mentions.
Well, I'm just saying, like, if I
fine,
think,
we'll make an honorable
no,
mention second.
No, we'll
episode.
Just make it a public playlist on Spotify that you know people can go check out. Our summer playlist from last year's there.
Yeah, so maybe the sequel to this episode is all the honorable mentions that I have.
Good Lord, man! I mean, dude, I have a lot too that didn't make me saying them out loud on the episode, but boy, howdy, man,
get in there.
Well, I wanted to kind of. Pivot a little, start talking about a couple other things about road trips.
Okay.
But just never mind, man. Go with your artist. What you got?
No, you go.
What do you mean me go?
Go talk about the thing. I just really wanted to talk about Eve 6, Think Twice.
Think Twice.
Dude, I do love that song. I don't know why. It's sort of a guilty pleasure a little bit.
Is this the one that's like something like London? Dun, dun.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that is pretty good.
God, that chorus is so good.
Oh. Hands the one that got me into them, because I was I would always be like, dude, these guys flipping suck.
So minus all of the weird rap that Anne is into, her and I are pretty
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Music-wise, like we kind of, because she gets into like the heavier stuff and like, I'm not saying Eve Six is heavy, but you know.
Like Breaking Benjamin and like, there's like a Swedish band that she's super into.
Oh, dude, Blindside, man.
Blindside, dude, they're good.
Love them.
Yeah.
Dude, I saw them at the Roxy in LA when they first came out with their first record. It like, to have one guitar player, a singer that doesn't play an instrument, bass and drums, dude, huge. It was one of the heaviest.
Yeah.
And wildest shows I'd ever seen.
What's funny about them is, like, dude, whenever, like, you go back and you listen to it, and it's like, you hear, it's so funny to me when there's, like, when, well, this kind of sounds mean, I guess, but like, whenever, like, English is certainly not the first language, then they write songs, like, sometimes, like, the wording is just so silly, and they're like, and, like, the way that they pronounce it's, like, so foreign, man. It's just so funny to go back and listen to it.
The Refused were another band that kind of had that.
Is that on your, let me ask you a quick question.
No, it's not on my
list. Track, is that on your road trip playlist?
That is not on my road trip playlist. Hey, you brought up Blindside. But a song that is on my playlist, and I'm going to be really surprised if it's not on yours.
Okay.
And that is Jump Little Children, Mexico.
Yeah, it's, okay, I didn't write it down because it's on, like, somehow that song ends up on every playlist I ever made.
It does.
It's just so good.
So good, man.
Oh, my gosh. I'm pretty sure it's on the summer playlist last year. Well, I'm pulling up right now. I bet every single song that you've talked about is just on your summer playlist from last year, which
I know. I'm sure it is. And probably when we have like a winter playlist, probably a lot of these are going to
That just kind of makes me want to
bleed over. That is the worst. Girl from Ipanema. That's so bad. Okay, I got a song that you never would have put on. You've probably never heard this song, which is kind of exciting to me. But there's a lot of this dude's stuff that I'm not a fan of. But this song, especially the chorus, it feels like Peter Gabriel off of like the So album. And not like Sledgehammer, but like, you'll know what I mean. It's the second you hear it. And that is a song called May I Have This Dance by Francis and the Lights.
Hmm.
You know that song? Here, I'm gonna do a little playing on my own here. Okay.
You took too long. Yeah. I was pissed already.
You had to play it. But just wait till the chorus, dude. It's awesome. In the ground, we bury. Just wait. He's worked with Kanye a good bit, actually. This chorus is awesome right here. May I have this dance?
Can I say something? Dude.
My kids love it.
Yes, dude. I love that, man. It's very, it's awesome. I mean, dude, anytime, here's the thing. If you're gonna rip anybody off,
oh yeah,
you know Phil Collins is the man.
Exactly. Yeah, Phil Collins is definitely a,
like if Genesis, you're gonna have a kind of has that vibe. Yeah, dude. Peter Gabriel, Phil Collins, man. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. I just favorited that song. That's great.
A lot of his stuff is he has like a song called like Friends also that he does with Bon Iver. That's really cool. But he has a lot of like weird like sort of R&B. He's kind of like in the hip hop scene, I think, because he. He like writes a lot of like the music stuff for like Kanye, but man, he's really talented. It's like a one man show, kind of like Justin Vernon from Bon Iver, but yeah, really cool.
That's really cool.
You got any more?
No. I mean, I pretty much went through like the ones that are gonna. You know, I had some that I like crossed out because like you know like I had The Who, The Seeker, but that's a little too intense, I think, for like being in the car. You know, maybe one song that my kids are really into right now, which again, I'm taking them through some old school stuff, is like Rush, Tom Sawyer, ELO, and like Mr. Blue Sky.
Oh, that dude, that intro.
Oh, man, it's just amazing. So good, dude.
Yeah.
What is the other one? Oh, dude, they nixed this last night. I had the song Pump It Up by Elvis Costello on the playlist. And they're like, this is terrible, Dad. Okay.
As much as I love Elvis Costello, he is
boom,
an
boom, boom, boom.
Acquired taste. That's not right.
That's Mascherano, but it is. It is, but man, I love that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Just his vocals.
That's it. It goes down, 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 down. And the reason I think I have like a soft spot for that song is I remember he was like on SNL and he played that whenever I was a kid. And I just was like, oh man, this is cool. Hey man, I'm watching Rock and Roll Live on Saturday Night Live.
Oh yeah.
And so I don't know. I just remember that and I loved it.
Now it's.
But my kids hate it. So yippity doo dah.
Yeah, there's a few of those that. That my kids get in, can't get into. Here's a band that you and I are massive, massive fans of, pretty much everything they do. And a lot of times this their stuff feels like cold, dead of winter kind of vibes. But
yeah, speaking of Sweden, ABBA.
No, not Sweden, but Scotland.
Oh,
and
yes.
You already know who this is.
Mm-hmm.
Frightened Rabbit.
Yep.
Sort of hard to pick one, but
yeah.
I think the woodpile feels...
Mm-hmm.
Light and lively, even though it's called Woodpile, which feels like winter. But and then there's another song called Oil Slick off that same record. It's off a record called Pedestrian Verse.
Yeah,
they're awesome,
dude. They're incredible. Tragic end to the lead singer.
So sad.
Yeah,
man.
But
Scott,
you know, it's funny, man. They are a band that to me, and I don't know if it's just because I can't help but picture the Scottish Highlands when I think of them or when I hear their music. I feel like I can almost hear the visualization of like misty mountains and like cold and rainy. You know, it's not they aren't really a, you know, summer vibe, but I can see, I almost put some of their stuff on the road trip playlist, but you know.
Yeah. Yeah. They're an amazing band. So sad. Scott Hutchinson, I think that's his last name. Really, really tragic kind of thing. Because, like I said, like you and I are, I mean, I don't know of a song that I'm not obsessed with of theirs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's really rare to have a band that, like, you just love everything they put out. I mean, kind of like The National, kind of like, you know. But yeah, really sad, but great band if you've never heard of them. A song called So Alive by Ryan Adams.
Great one.
And a lot of the reason why is because I think that was the very first sort of component of our like band years where we slowly started incorporating some alt country flavoring into our songs. And this song does it so well because it's like, you know, it is like The Replacements or Costello in that like
that driving beat.
Yeah, but it's still, it's off his album Rock and Roll, and it's, you know, it still kind of has like, you know, all majors, like the sort of slight alt-country tinge to it. So, yeah, he's great in general, Ryan Adams.
Well, you know, what's interesting is like the road trips now are just so much different than the way they used to be. You know, like I remember my dad, and I mean, to this day still does it, he would have like a giant sort of Rand McNally road atlas.
Oh, the atlas, yeah.
In his car. Still
my grandpa
has it. It's like one of the first gifts he gives somebody, like, hey, now do you guys have a good road atlas?
Oh.
And he still like asks me before.
They
like,
did that
we'll
when
use
we...
We'll use GPS. He's like, no, son, trust me. I've been on all parts of this country. There's areas where you just don't have good GPS. What are you going to do then? I'm like, I don't still.
Well, didn't he give us the giant atlas?
Oh, yeah, dude.
Van?
It was in the tour van. That was, you know, and, you know, God, dude, I remember, like, we would have to, before we had that, and I think this is why he gave it to us, we would, like, print out the MapQuest directions, you know. And even, like, thinking back to those days, dude, because we're so used to now, like, everyone's got GPS in their cars, or if they don't, they at least are using, like, Google Maps on their phone or whatever.
Yeah.
It's almost like remembering back then, like, how in the world did we navigate through, like, New York and Chicago and LA and all these places without that crap.
Yeah.
It's wild, I know. Dude.
It is wild.
You remember that time I turned down the wrong? Dude, yeah. I think about this once, maybe once a month.
And
but
we were very much under the influence.
No. Take
no, me. No, no, no.
No, I'm talking. No. This is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about it's like one of our first times in New York. And I've got the van and, you know, you're driving and you're in Manhattan, dude, and traffic is just ballistic. I mean, usually when you go to New York, hey, man, you're taking the train from Kennedy into Manhattan. You're not worrying about, a car, right?
You're taking cabs, subway,
whatever. Now it's like Uber. No. We had this stupid freaking 89 tour van. Mm-hmm. I say stupid. I love that thing. I'm driving through New York City and I was like, okay, I think I'm supposed to turn here. And I just turned down this road and it was either a one way or it was just like, no, whatever. This cop in perfect, like almost stereotypical / cinematic style is like, bam, he like hits the front of the thing. He's like, what are you thinking about? Turn it around. He's like yelling at me. He's like cussing at me. I was like, bum, 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 back that thing up. And I'm just like so scared and nervous. And I was like, man, it was like the most New York thing that could have happened to me ever. This New York City guy was like slapping the front of our van, basically like punching it and being like, what are you thinking about? Turn it around. You know, and you're like, oh my God. So,
dude, where were we? And I feel like it was Boo Boo for some reason. He basically like ran into a car or something. And then the cop like had him move. And when he went to go move, he was so close to the other car that he ended up pulling the bumper off.
No, bro, that was me.
That was you?
In Philadelphia.
God, we had a lot of good times.
I like side-striped the vehicle. And
I believe it's side-swiped.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm saying side-stripe because I put a stripe
down
that thing. And I stopped like mid-thing. I'm like, guys, what do I do? And I was like, as everybody's like telling me what to do, I was like, don't know. Just gassed it, ripped the front bumper off of the vehicle. I don't want to go there.
No, that was the trip that I was saying that we were under the influence in the back of the van, me and Boo Boo. I think we were changing.
You and Thomas. Boo Boo was just sitting on the dang curb.
Oh, maybe you're right. Yeah.
You know, not helping load out.
Jesus. Those are good times. Speaking of summer, man, that first big trip up to Milwaukee, man, I will never forget it.
That was incredible, man.
It was just like the road trip.
Mm-hmm.
You know, amazing. Played with Kings of Leon. It was amazing.
It's so funny, man. I was just thinking about that the other day because one of the things that I loved about that was even though we were, you know, since we played there and they played after, like we're just backstage or side stage. And I remember being like, guys, let's just get out into the crowd. I want to experience this as a member of the crowd instead of just like to the side. This sucks.
Right.
So then we walked out there and it was just so much fun, dude. Golly.
Yeah.
But do you remember how nervous we were when you like, you know, if you're listening and if you've ever been to a music festival and stuff, I never knew anything about this side of it until we were kind of back behind the curtain, so to speak. You know, you show up, you have this designated parking lot. Now, this was Tyler's talking about Summerfest, which is in Milwaukee. It's like one of the biggest music festivals in the States, but I think even globally.
I think it is the biggest, yeah.
Yeah, and you have a designated lot. They give you all this stuff like ahead of time. Well, anyways, you show up. They kind of direct you to where you're supposed to park, and then they're like, all right, man, sit tight. They're going to come, whatever. The next group of people that come are people that just like you're loading up your equipment, your amplifiers, your guitars, things that to us like not internationally humongous bands. I mean, this is like our 11th show ever, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are precious pieces of our career that we're just handing off to some stranger with a freaking walkie-talkie. And we're like, where is this? And they're like, oh man, we'll have it all ready to go. And it's like, oh, okay. And so like, it kind of disrupted our like sort of pre-show ritual and stuff like that. But then they come and get you. And I just remember like, just because of who I am and the majority of the time, just being anxious about whatever, thinking like, I almost can't enjoy myself because am I going to open up my guitar case?
Right. I was the same
and
way.
That sucker's just like broken half, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It was nerve wracking as heck, man.
Yeah. I had that feeling so many times whenever we had to do like backline stuff and people were like setting up my pedal board because it's like, there's a lot of little moving parts that if like one little wire gets pulled out, then nothing works and you're panicking to try to figure out like what's happening. I'm not getting any sound. And it is such
a your rig was annoying sometimes just because it was like so finicky, you know, seemingly it was like, oh man, we were constantly having to deal with that.
Well, I think a lot of it too is like, you know, we weren't like a like massive band where like so much stuff was sort of taken care of. So it was like, you know, we had to take care of everything and we're driving on like really terrible roads. And, you know, all of our stuff was like, we didn't use anything digital. It was all analog. So it was like, you know, you take like, you know, like tube amps and stuff. It's like, it's real easy for that stuff to, you know, be finicky. And I mean, tube amps in general for all you guitar players out there, like, you know, from one time to the next, you turn them on, it's like they're always going to sound kind of different. Like, you know, if you have like dirty power coming in, it's going to be noisy. And like, it's just,
it's like in some ways, it is so simplistic that it's kind of easy to quote unquote find the problem in a way. Like, you just take out those tubes. I mean, we went through tubes, man, like crazy. But then at the same time, it is kind of like you got to diagnose it like on the spot while you're on stage. It's just a pain in the butt. Worst. And then your pedal board would always like, what's going on? Jiggle, 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 jiggle. We're just like jiggling chords constantly. And then, dude, I know we've told this story too, but that time that we showed up in Charlotte, North Carolina, and we were already running late, and I don't remember why. I think maybe they just told us the wrong load-in time. And so, like,
Thomas was sick.
Thomas was, like, deathly ill, man.
Yeah.
We show up. The guys already took the sound guys just so mad. And we're like, what? I mean, what do you want me to do? So
and we were there like, early from what?
Well, from our end,
Yeah, like, from what we were told, we were like, oh, we're here early. Look, we can get, you know, get a beer and take
our
time.
Yeah, we pull up and this guy just starts yelling at us. And we're like, huh? And they're like, you know, you're going on and like whatever. And we're like, what?
Yeah.
Okay. And then, you know, your thing wouldn't work. And then so you just like, you were just like, screw it. And you just plugged directly in basically. It was just,
it was terrible.
Yeah. That's the worst show ever, man, for sure.
Yeah, this is like a little bit nerdy, but I'm not going to get too into it. But like my rig was like very specific. Like, so Woody obviously was a singer. And so his guitar, like he could have totally done it barefoot. In fact, he did for most of our career as a band. And so a lot of the sort of bells and whistles and like sort of like, you know, tones and stuff, like, you know, it fell on my shoulders. And so like, you know, and that was another thing too, is like my rig was very, like, it wasn't like very like typical. Like it was, I played a Tele and you think, oh, it's a Tele. It's like a bright guitar, but it was like always on the neck pickup. I played through this super high gain, like almost like, I mean, like hard rock amp, but because I played through the neck pickup, which allowed me to dial up the gain without it getting like, you know, metal territory. It was just this very like specific sound. And so it was always just like a battle to get it, you know, right. Like, especially if we show up for a show like that, where it's like you're super rushed or you get up there and we're in the middle of, you know, Indiana, like out in the middle of a park or something. And it's like the power is like terrible. It's like, it's just, God, it was a nightmare.
Yeah, it was, man.
But the best, I mean, probably the best time of our lives.
Oh, you know? For sure, man. Yeah. I mean, amazing. One, yeah, it was just, it was so much fun. You know, one thing I think that kind of makes a road trip just complete, first off, I think, and again, this is like specific to my own sort of recent experience, like there are so many cool things and places to see in the U.S. that I really do think it is worthwhile to just kind of like, you know, drive if you've never taken a road trip. And there's several people that I know actually, man, that haven't. And so like, you know, get a little bit out of your comfort zone this summer and maybe go to the next state over, or maybe like drive a couple hours from your town and maybe there's a cool cryptid museum or, you know, something cool. There's always like these neat off the beaten path sort of roadside attractions or breweries or wineries, whatever you're into, or man, gosh, thrift stores. You know, I can't wait to go on this road trip because that's one of the first things I look for is thrift stores, man. We used to do it a lot when we were on tour. I mean, you got a t-shirt from a city, you're always going to find something like kind of cool from somewhere else. But you also got to set yourself up for success when it comes to like just keeping everybody happy inside the car, van, or whatever you're driving. Like snacks.
That's the biggest thing. Yeah.
You know, you got to have your snacks. I got to have some beef jerky. Sunflower seeds was a huge one.
Combos.
Oh my gosh.
We lived on those things.
Yeah, we did, man. What was your go-to? Like pizza combo? Mine was always just like, I just want the plain.
I like the plain. Yeah. Yeah. Just the blue and red.
The cheddar or whatever.
Yeah, the cheddar one. Yeah. Funyuns. That's a big. Mm-hmm.
Sour Patch Kids.
Yes.
Yeah, piles and piles of Bubblicious bubblegum.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Man. Yeah. I kind of want to do. I know my kids just we're not. They're not there yet. But once they get like a good bit older, I really do kind of want to do like the old school like 50s. You know, Great American Road Trip.
Yeah, Route 66.
Yeah, Route 66, and you hit like a lot of those old school roadside attractions that mm-hmm. kind of like the, you know, that Neil Gaiman talks about in American Gods, mm-hmm. and like the biggest ball of twine and Coral Castle and mm-hmm. like stuff like that, like the Waki Wichi mermaids, mm-hmm. those things that were just like so cool and so like big, you know, back in the 50s when families were like hitting the road in their Winnebagos and, you know, station wagons and so cool. But I know my kids like wouldn't appreciate it now.
I mean, I don't know if mine do really either, man, but on ours we would stop and look at stuff like that too, just because it's like, you know, like the largest whatever art easel mm-hmm. or something was in like a little town in Oklahoma. I mean,
yeah,
it's just memories, man, you know, and like whether or not they like it, you just got to force them to do it, you know? Yeah. I mean, because it all goes back to kind of like the time before there was just so much to do, right? I mean, it's the same thing. Like I get like oversaturated with what should we watch tonight? Because there's just mm-hmm. too many choices. And so what ends up happening is I just kind of like scroll through and I like looking at all the covers, like I'm back at the Blockbuster again and I never, I end up not watching anything.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And like, I think our kids are inundated with this, like they can, anything they want to watch or play, you know, they can just pull it up. And mm-hmm. it's like to go from that to, oh, cool, Dad, it's a giant rocking chair on the side of the road.
Yeah.
I understand where they're coming from, but like I'm trying to have them appreciate that kind of stuff more.
Yeah.
And so even now they're kind of, they are looking forward to it, man, I think. So it'll be cool. So
yeah, I love that stuff, man. We're really kind of pulling back on the whole iPad deal. Cause I think a lot of it is that it's like, and we've talked about it before, but it's like you can like physically see your kids getting like, you know, worse attitudes mm-hmm. when they're on those things all the time. And it's like they have their patience level, you know, gets smaller. And it's just like, you know, it does make those things like that are out in the quote unquote real world. It makes those things like, they're just like, who cares, you know?
Yeah.
I can play Minecraft or, you know, whatever.
I think there's some good, like, I'll give you a quick example. Woodrow can play Fortnite on his Switch mm-hmm. with his cousins who live, like, on the other side of the state. And so they can maintain that sort of cousin bond.
See, together. That's cool.
Yeah, man. And it's like, and because they can, like, hear and talk to each other, it's like they're on the phone and playing a video game at the same time. It's really awesome, man. So like, but we're kind of strict on it, you know, like he can only play with people we know, like so his friend and his cousins, you know, that's it. So,
yeah, you know, I thought about this past Christmas, I was really close to doing the Switch for Amelia. But then she has another cousin who doesn't play any games and literally just watches YouTube videos. And I was like, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, we're super strict over here about like...
Even YouTube Kids, man, has some mm-hmm. awful, like weird secret...
Weird stuff, man. And not even just... Sometimes it's not even like the weird stuff. It's just super annoying. Like, you know, the toy reviews and there's like, hey, guys, it's just weird. So I just don't even...
You mean Ryan Toys review?
That. Yeah, we're not giving that a freaking... Anyway, hopefully we gave you... listeners a good potential list of mm-hmm. songs that you can add to your summer road trip playlist, or if not, maybe we've kind of stoked some imagination and some thought process into what would be on your list, you know. And so as usual, one of the things that we love is to hear from you guys, and so if there are songs that you guys think we should add, or you know, yes, you can give me grief for not being into, what is Deftones. It? Shove It? Deftones. You know?
Or me for liking a song by whatever. E6.
Whatever. You know, you can keep it positive if you like and just add to it. Or you can give us grief. Mm-hmm. It's completely up to you. But I want to hear what are some songs that you would put on your road trip playlist. Totally. And like I said, we will compile all that together and make it available as a public playlist on Spotify.
Mm-hmm. If you would like to find us online, you can head on over to Instagram. Just look up That Would Be Rad. If you want to tell us a story, tell us something, you know, weird, some urban legend, some paranormal situation you found yourself in, or your own summer playlist, feel free to shoot us a DM or hit us up in the comment section. We love all the back and forth. If it's more of a long form type situation, you can send a voice memo or your essay that you've written to thatwouldberadpod@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. And that's about it. Go to our link tree, buy us a coffee, buy some merch. By the way, we are going to have new merch for the upcoming second annual Camp Rad Strangeness, mm-hmm, 2022. That's
so
coming
excited,
up.
Man.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. That's coming up. There's going to be some new merch, and you know, we'll mention it on the show. But I guess that's about it. You got anything else?
I think that's it, man.
All right. Well, we love you. We appreciate you. Get out there and enjoy summer. And as always,
be rad.
That's the way it goes.
Dude, don't worry. I can make it work.
Jesus. I drew a total blank.
Yeah, like, no, dude. That's the worst when that happens. Like, dude, I was telling Woodrow the other night because he did this, like, presentation at school, which was super nervous. And, you know.
The Steve Ditko thing?
Yeah, yeah. God, which, awesome. Dude, I mean.
Why did you not tell me, man?
I completely forgot, man. It's just been a crazy week. And, I mean, like, how cool is that? Like, oh, I would, amazing. You know.
How does he so even cool. know who Steve Ditko is?
He was looking into like Marvel Comics and he was just like, oh man, Steve Ditko. And
well, they've done some. Go ahead, sorry.
Okay, well, I didn't know this.
I didn't know you were still
I didn't know you were telling me my story, but my bad. Anyway, so I've gotten this list of artists. No, like he, I guess, just, you know, didn't want to dress up like Stan Lee was the main reason, I think, why he pursued the Steve Ditko route. But yeah, it was good, man. But why was I telling you that? Oh, I was saying, I told them that, like, you know, there were moments, like, on tour, and it wasn't because of intoxication, that I would completely forget lyrics. And we're talking about songs that we've played thousands of times, mm-hmm. in hundreds of cities, and I would just blank out, man, and be like, oh, my God, where am I? What's the next part?
Dude, I would do the same with guitar lines, where I'm like, yeah. What? Where am I?
And I told him that as a sort of mental exercise to say, like, look, man, whenever you're telling a story or giving a presentation, no one knows what the next sentence is. Right. So don't stop and say, oh, I forgot that part, because nobody knows.
Yeah.
If you did forget it, you know, move to another part and then come back to it. Like, learn that fluidity. And so I was telling him, like, I would just make up lyrics sometimes. Mm-hmm. And then, like, until I would come back in, because people wouldn't know the difference. Now your bandmates would, and they would give you grief about it later.
Yeah.
But nobody in the crowd did.
So. No, and I remember times where you would clearly forget, like, when to come in.
Okay.
And so we would just draw out that intro. We'll make this thing.
It gives me anxiety just even thinking about that.
We're going to make this thing pretty cool. I remember we did that Counting Crows song.
God, I knew you were going to say that. God. Dude, it's kind of like, you know how people say they have that nightmare about showing up to school naked? Oh, that is a recurring thing for me, dude. That memory of just like something went wrong and I didn't come in right. And I'm like, okay, now I got to wait for the count. Okay. And the sound there at Smith's was weird that night.
I kind of always hated Smith's. There's so many times at Smith's where, oh my, no, it
there
wasn't.
There was one sound guy, but remember he moved to the Earl.
Yeah, right.
And he was
awesome.
The best, man.
But just the vibe of playing in Smith's, like even way back in the Cloud 10 days, like it just, there was some, it always felt like you didn't have like, if you were going to like be thrown out into the water, you knew you had kind of like a life jacket, and it just had this feeling of like, you're just floating out in the air without a parachute kind of thing.
Yeah, no. It felt like somebody tied lead weights to your feet and they said, swim.
Yeah.
Like, and plus you had to hike your stuff up. Oh, God. It's just the worst, man. I hated that place.
Yeah, that place sucked.